It's so good to see everybody here this evening. And we have several people that are visitors. Thank you so much for coming on this rainy night. And I hope the sermon that I prepared for you tonight will be one worthy of your effort to be here. Before I get into the sermon, I would like to thank the congregation for inviting me. There is nothing I enjoy in life more than the preaching of the Word of God. Having the Word of God flowing out of my mind and my heart into other people's minds and hearts is the most satisfying, fulfilling experience in life. And I leave Fort Worth with great riches. I leave with new friends. One of the most wonderful things about being a gospel preacher is you get to know other brethren in other parts of the country. It's good to see Stan, Debbie again. But quite frankly, I didn't know a lot of you at the beginning of the week. I do now, and I'm so glad I do. I pray, Lord willing, our paths will cross many times. And know that Linda and I, we love you already. You're very easy to love. My sermon is one this evening that I do in every gospel meeting I preach. There's a reason for it. I consider it one of the most important gospel sermons I've ever put together. And it's a very simple lesson as far as the concept and the subject, and that is soldiers of Christ, which we are, put on the whole armor of God. And we're going to start by pointing out the reality of where we are, whether we like it or not. We were born into a world that is at war. And I'm not talking about physical warfare out there. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. When you go to the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." The dragon here is Satan, the devil. He's coming to make war against those who keep the commandments of God. That's us. Those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's us. Satan is making war against the church. He's making war against you. His intention and his desire is to defeat you spiritually, to get you in sin and to stay in sin and die in sin and forever be separated from God Almighty and Jesus Christ in hell with him for all eternity. His desire is your absolute spiritual destruction. There is no one who hates you more than Satan. There is no one who desires your destruction more than Satan. He is real. He is not a mythological character we've made up to scare people with. He is real. Going to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." This is Satan being described here. And again, this is who we're fighting against. We're fighting against a spiritual being. How do you feel about that as far as you fighting against Satan? I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble. How do I fight a spiritual being with power as Satan has? How do I fight him? 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 4 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." We are supposed to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to learn how to be involved and engage in, look at this, warfare. We are expected to fight. Now, if you say, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to fight. I just want to get along. I'm sorry. You just surrendered then. If you're not going to fight, you're going to be defeated. We must fight. We must be soldiers of Jesus Christ. It's not an option if you want to be saved and go to heaven and avoid hell. James 4:7 says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Okay? How do you do that? How do I resist the devil? How do I resist Satan? How do I resist spiritual wickedness in high places? How do you do this so that he will flee from you? That's the point of the sermon this evening. We're going to be going into the Word of God and learning from the Word of God how to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, how to fight the spiritual warfare, how to win the battles, and ultimately the war itself, to where finally we are with God. The first thing we need to study about how to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ is we have to know ourselves honestly. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Okay. Examine yourself. Test yourself. Everyone here that is an adult, all of us, we all have spiritual weaknesses. We all have spiritual flaws. We all have areas spiritually where we have lost battles in the past. Where Satan has won, tempted us, we gave in to the temptation, we sinned, we lost the battle. You need to ask yourself this question. What battles do I keep losing? Where does Satan keep hitting me? What are my spiritual struggles? What are my weaknesses? Be honest with yourself. Know yourself. What was it Shakespeare said? Above all things, my son, to the known self be true. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest with yourself. At least be honest with yourself to where you can recognize where you really are spiritually weak. Because if you can't do that, you're never going to deal with it. You're never going to even fight it because you won't even face up to the reality that it exists. So you got to test yourself. You got to examine yourself. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Okay, what is this concept of take heed to yourself? I'm going to give you an Arkansas translation, if you don't mind. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Pay attention to yourself. Take heed to yourself. You know, I want y'all to make it to heaven. I really do. But I don't want to miss it. And so for me not to miss it, I need to, first of all, after I'm through preaching to other people, look at myself and take heed to myself and ask myself, am I continuing in the doctrine that I'm teaching? Am I practicing what I'm preaching? Am I real? And if I'm not, it's time to repent. It's time to change. It's just time to start practicing what I preach. Even the preachers are told to take heed to themselves. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. The second thing you got to do to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ after you know yourself is do the very best you can to know your enemy. Anyone who's ever studied military warfare knows this to be the case. You want to know what your enemy is going to do before he does it. You want to know how he's going to attack you so you can set up your defenses. The good news is we're not ignorant of his devices. Satan has not come up with anything new to attack us with. He's attacking us the same way he is since the Garden of Eden and all the way to the end. His methods of attack are the same. One of the best verses on this is 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. There it is. Every sin that you're going to be hit with is in one of those three categories. Pride of life is the idea of, it's all about me, myself, and I. And I understand what God's word is and his will is, but I want to do this and so I'm going to go my way. That's the pride of life. As a matter of fact, the pride of life is at the heart and the center of all sin. to where it's all about me and what I want to do. When we're talking about the lust of the flesh, this is the ideas of the desires of the flesh. To drink, to eat, to have sex. Sexual drive is not sinful. Satan just wants you to fulfill it in a way in which God never intended it to be fulfilled. And so you have the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes is basically materialism, where Satan says, "Hey, you like this? Look over here. Isn't that pretty? Now that you can have this thing, you just got to sacrifice your relationship with God and your family. But you can have this thing, so get up, chase it, chase it, chase it, chase it." This is the avenues through which we've been tempted. Now let's be honest, brethren. We've lost battles in all three. And he hasn't come up with anything new. He's going to continue to hit you in your pride, in the lust of the flesh, in the lust of the eyes. Not only that, when you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, 26 to 27, it says, "Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." He is going to hit you in your emotions. I gave you an entire sermon on this earlier this week. You remember that sermon? That was talking about how to keep from sinking when you're hit by sorrow upon sorrow. We talked about sorrow. We talked about anger and wrath. We talked about fear. Okay. Satan is going to hit you in your emotions. And one of the main emotions he attacks us through is our anger and our wrath. That's why he says, you got to be angry and not sin. When you get angry, you will say and do all kinds of things that are absolutely outrageous and destructive and cruel, that you would never say nor do in your normal frame of mind. Satan knows this. Now let's talk a little bit about the differentiation between these two. Anger is something usually that flares up quickly and can go out quickly. Think of road rage. You know, you're doing good, you're driving down the road, listening to your music, having a good day, and all of a sudden some crazy driver cuts you off or does something you don't like. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden here comes those emotions of anger. It can rise up quickly, but go away quickly. You got to be careful that during that brief moment of flare-up, you don't sin. Wrath, on the other hand, is something that hangs on. Where someone has said something to you or they've done something to you, and let's say they did it early in the morning or said it early in the morning, and you've been thinking about it all day long. And you say, "I can't believe they said it. I can't believe they did that." And you just keep on chewing on it and going over it, and they just start getting stronger and stronger and stronger. According to James 1, I think around 20, it says, "The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." That's why you've got to put it out before the sun goes down. You gotta get on it. You gotta start working at it. You gotta beat it down and put the fire out. Otherwise, if you don't look out, it's gonna consume you. And wrath turns into bitterness, and bitterness into hatred, and you get consumed by it. Satan knows this about us. He knows what he can do to get us to sin. Why do you think he attacked Job the way he did? He understands us. He understands even in sorrow we can get angry at God and leave God. He attacks us in our emotions. All right. You need to recognize that about yourself and ask yourself, which emotions does he keep coming at again and again and again? Matthew 4, 2 through 3. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" I got a question for you. Exactly how hungry do you think Jesus was? Capital H, hungry. More hungry than you and I've ever thought about. Do you think Satan knew that? Of course he did. Satan deduced where he thought Jesus was going to be the weakest, and that's where he hit him first. Do you think Satan knows which battles you've lost? Yes. Guess what? He's coming back again. And he's going to continue to hit you there until you start putting some defenses there. And when you finally resist and stand in the evil day, don't think he's forgotten it. You may go for a period of time doing real good, saying no, standing in an evil day, no, standing in an evil day, using your shield of faith, putting out the fiery darts of the wicked one, and you start thinking, I think I got this. He's not going to come back there anymore. Look out! As soon as you think he's not coming back, that's when he's going to come back and hit you sometime even harder. Satan knows your weaknesses. Anyone, again, in physical warfare knows this. You've got to recognize where your weaknesses are so you can start putting up special, intense defenses. He's going to hit you where your weaknesses are. The next thing you need to know are your allies. Now, first of all, before we go into the text here, me all by my lonesome self without God, I'm in trouble. To be quite frank about it, I ain't got anything at all that makes me so powerful that I can resist Satan and fight against Satan and be a good soldier on Wayne alone. Me by myself, nobody. The primary ally we must have if we have any hope whatsoever of winning these warfares and these battles is God. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want you to see it right up front. Our primary ally is God. And it is because he is our ally, we can actually resist Satan to where he will flee from us. He's not going to flee from Wayne. He's going to flee from the one who's with Wayne. He's going to flee from God. He's going to flee from our captain, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Know your allies. Learn to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we're going to come back to that later on. One of my favorite verses from Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Then in verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A great text. Okay. Now, I want you in your imagination to go back and imagine that you are a general at the head of an army, maybe back, say, in the time of the Romans. And here you are, and you got your army with you, and your cavalry with you, and you're facing up to the battle across the valley, and there's the army, and then there's just one soldier over here. He breaks away from his army and he goes out here and he's standing in what we call no man's land. And he's out there all by himself. Now what are you as a general going to say to any of your soldiers? First of all, what I'm going to say to myself is, look at that idiot over there. Look at him. He's out there by himself. What an idiot. And then I'll say to one of my soldiers or a couple of my soldiers, go kill him. He's out there by himself. He's all alone. He's not even with the army. He's asking for it. So kill him. Brethren, that's the majority of Christians in the world. Out there all by themselves. And not the army. The mistake we make often is we become what I call solitary soldiers. We don't work together. We have in our mind, okay, I'm going to handle this all by myself. I'm not going to let people know where I am. I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going to go to other people and ask them to help me deal with my spiritual struggles. I got this. I can't let other people know what I'm losing at. I can't let other people know my struggles and the battles I'm losing. If they knew, what would they think about me? I got to take care of this by myself. If you've talked yourself into any of that, that's all from Satan. To keep you isolated. As long as you are isolated, you are easy to defeat. The Lord never meant any of us to be solitary soldiers. None of us. We're supposed to be an army. You look at all the terms that describe the church. Family. Body. Those are collective terms. We're supposed to be working and helping together. Two are better than one. The reason for that is because if you fall down all by yourself, there's nobody to help you up. But if you got somebody there and you're not alone, they can help you up. And then he talks about, again, warfare or battle here and someone fighting against you, that one can be overpowered. If you're all by yourself, you can be easily overpowered. But with two, oh, you can withstand. You see that? And then he goes from two to three. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. What about a fourfold cord? What about five? What about six? What about an army? You see how that works? If two is better than one, three is better than two, four is better than three, and just keep on going with it. Now, where I'm going with this is Hebrews chapter 3:13, and we're going to go over to James in a moment. First of all, Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another, look at this, daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you see the importance of our relationship with each other? All of us at different times get discouraged. All of us at different times are losing battles. All of us at different times need help and exhortation. This is describing the Christian relationship with one another, to where we recognize this person's down, this person's having a difficult time, and so you go to them while it's called, what, today? This is not one of those things you procrastinate about and say, I'll get to that later on. You don't procrastinate about this at all. When there's a brother or sister and they're struggling, you go to them and you let all the other balls hit the ground while it's called today. And then you encourage them and you exhort them, because you see, if you don't, the longer you let them stay in it, the more hardened they become in the sin. You help them start fighting as quickly as you can so they can get up and get back into the battle. Let's go to one of the most disobeyed verses in the Bible. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Earlier in the week, I told the congregation here that unfortunately there was a time in my life when I was a prodigal son. And I also told you in that sermon, if you've ever listened to it, at that time in my life, I was a professional hider. Nobody knew me. I hid my sin from anybody that would be offended by it. I hid my faith from anybody that would be offended by it. As a consequence, everybody liked me. But nobody knew me. I let nobody in. Until I went to Florida College. First person I met at Florida College was Larry McClinney. And the second person I met was his cousin, James McClinney. And then after that, Jeff Young. And I remember sitting in the dorm room there, in Dykus dorm, sitting on the bed, and these guys started doing something I never seen guys do before. They started talking about their spiritual struggles. And they started talking about battles that they've lost. And I was like, wow, people do that? And I did something then I'd never done before. I let down my wall and let them in, and told them who I really was and where I really was. And that was the beginning of me learning the importance of confessing your trespasses to one another and praying for one another. Because through this relationship with those three brethren, I finally had someone who was with me in my trenches helping me fight my battles. And we would check up on one another and ask, how did you do? You messed up again? Okay. And they would get on me. And then we would pray together. And we would keep checking up on each other. How'd you do this week? All right. You stood. Good. And then we'd pray together. We did this over and over and over again. It is why I'm before you this evening. It is how I finally came home. I let someone in. I'm telling you this story because I'm trying to implore you. Let someone in. Find someone you can trust enough to let in where you really are. Not what you're wanting people to see, but who you really are, where you really are, and the struggles you are having. You are having them. We all have them. The reason I'm telling you this is because Satan plays with our head And he keeps warning us to stay quiet and be isolated over here and let nobody in and keep this thought in your mind. What would they think if I told them what I was dealing with? What I found out was that everybody else was dealing with the same struggles. Yeah, that was an amazing thing. I wasn't alone. We're all fighting the same battles, all of us. That's what you're going to find out if you ever really let someone in. Now, you may be thinking, who can I go to? If you don't have anyone to go to, I volunteer. I talk to people on the phone every week that don't even live in Arkansas. Okay? And it will be between me and you and God. And we will encourage one another and we will pray for one another. And I will get down beside you in the trenches and I will not leave your side. And I will fight beside you as long as you need me there. Okay? Okay. Know your allies. Go to God first. Find brethren that you can let in. You're all fighting the same battles. You're all losing the same battles. Okay, why don't we encourage one another, exhort one another, confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. Do you see all that one another going on there? What's happening is when you start doing that, you're not alone anymore. You're becoming part of an army. Folks, I'm not alone. I got all kinds of people around me. Because when you let me in, guess what? I'm going to let you in. I'm not just going to pray for you. You can pray for me. And we're going to encourage each other and work together on this. And when you do this, an amazing thing happens. You start standing because you got someone to answer to. Someone you can talk to. Someone you can pray with. Find that someone. Let them in. Go on. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Look at the very beginning of this. The weapons of our warfare. God has given us weapons that we as soldiers of Christ are to know and master. If you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you have to know your weapons well. You have to learn how to use the weapons of our warfare that God has given us. And let me show you how powerful they are. They're able and they're mighty in God to pull down, look at this, strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? Spiritually speaking, it's the battle you keep losing. It's the one you keep going back to God about again and again and again and again. That's Satan's stronghold in your heart. That stronghold can be torn down with the weapons God has given us. The weapons are mighty. We just have to learn how to use them, and then we've got to use them. Not only do we have solitary soldiers out here all by themselves, they don't even have any weapons. And if they do have weapons, they don't know how to use them. And if they do know how to use them, they don't use them. Well, duh. You're gonna lose. You're setting yourself up to lose because you're alone and you're not using your weapons. Any soldier in a physical war is going to be killed quickly. The same thing is true spiritually. That's why we keep losing the battles, is because we're not even fighting. So we got to go to Ephesians 6. You knew this one was coming. Notice how it begins here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stop right there. Everything that comes after this is talking about the strength of the Lord and the power of His might. The spiritual weapons that He has given us for the spiritual warfare that are mighty in God. You see that? Mighty again? All right. Strong in the Lord, power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he starts breaking it down for us. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. All right, before we go any further, I need to ask this question. When's the evil day? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day. Satan's going to hit you every day. What we're talking about is learning how to stand. To where we don't lose the battle. Learning how to fight the good fight as a soldier of Christ. You have to know your weapons if you're ever going to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Another question for you. What is the common denominator between all of these parts of our armor? The common denominator is the Word of God. You see, it is the Word of God that is the truth. And if you practice the Word of God, it's going to be righteousness. And contained within the Word of God is the gospel of peace. And whenever you're dealing with the end of all of this, is going to be your salvation. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. I cannot overemphasize faith. We had an entire sermon on it. I was trying to impress upon you that faith is the key to our relationship with God, and faith is the key to us being able to stand against the attacks of Satan. And then the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We're going to focus on the faith and the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, from Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. All right, you remember earlier back in Matthew chapter 4, we were showing how Satan was tempting Jesus, and he hit him hard where he believed Jesus was going to be his weakest. He is going to do the exact same thing with all of us. He knows where we are weakest, and he's going to hit us there. But look how our captain, Jesus Christ, defended himself. He used the sword of the Spirit and said, it is written. Every single time Satan attacked him and tempted him, every time the Son of God, our captain, Jesus Christ, pulled the sword from the sheath and said, it is written. Now my question for all of you out there is this. Have you ever done that? Have you ever quoted scripture when you're dealing with temptation? And if you're sitting there going, no. That's why you keep losing the battle. You remember the soldier over here? He's got his weapons. He's not using them. Now, I'm just going to confess a personal weakness. One of my weaknesses, whenever I examine myself, one of my weaknesses is my temper. Those who love me know this about me. And my sister, who knew this about me, she came to me one day and she said, Wayne, I want to tell you how I've worked with myself in learning how to deal with my anger and my temper. I've memorized 10 verses from the scriptures that deal with anger and temper. And whenever I feel those emotions going up, I start quoting the scriptures. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay. Counting to 10 is not going to do you any good. 10!
Kill him!
Not going to work. Quote the scripture. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Focus on the verse. Meditate on the verse. It is written, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Focus on the verse. Quote the verse. Let the verse sink into the mind. By the time you get to the fifth verse, guess what? You can stand in the evil day. Earlier we were talking about knowing yourself, so I got something I want you to do in order to know yourself. When you go home tonight, I want you to do this. Get a blank piece of paper, put your name at the top of the paper, and ask yourself this question. What is my greatest spiritual weakness? Okay? And as you examine yourself and test yourself and see where you've lost the battles, write it down. Look at it and go, yeah, that's me. And then after you got number one written down, ask yourself the next question is, what's my second greatest spiritual weakness? Write it down. Third, fourth, fifth. Write down who you are. Write down what your struggles are. Face the reality of you. And then start dealing with the reality of you. By going to the scriptures and finding at least five verses that are the best verses you can find in the Bible that deal with the battles you're losing. And the next time you feel yourself being tempted and you're going into battle, start pulling the sword out of the sheath and say, it is written, and quote the scriptures. If our captain, the Son of God, had to do this to defend himself, who are we to think we don't need it? So again, I come back to the question. Have you ever done this? If not, why not? The weapons our God has given us work. We just got to use them. We got to know our weapons. We got to use our weapons. If we don't know them and we don't use them, we're going to lose the battle. And if you don't look out, you're going to lose the war and you're going to lose your soul. We got to learn how to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We got to learn how to fight these battles to where we can stand an evil day. God has given us this text here in Ephesians 6 to show us how to do it. The Word of God has got to be a weapon you learn how to use to defend yourself against the temptations of Satan. Because if you don't do this, you're just going to keep losing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. How'd they overcome the wicked one? They're strong. How are they strong? Because the Word of God is abiding in them. They have their weapon. They know it well. And whenever the attack comes, they bring the weapon out and use it. Just try it, okay? Just try using the weapons God has given you. They work. Ephesians 6 and 16. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It is our faith that is driving repentance. It is our faith that we use, recognizing the Son of God died on the cross for my sins. If you will keep your mind focused on Christ crucified, realizing He went through that for me because of my sin. I assure you, if your mind is focused on Calvary and the cross of Jesus when you're being tempted, you will not give in to the temptation. You will stand. Use your faith of who Jesus is and what He's done for you to put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one, to where you know what the Word of God is, you know what the will of God is. And yes, you remember our different aspects of faith? You know why I'm going to obey God's Word? Because I want to go to heaven. And I'm going to obey God's word because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. And I'm not going to allow anyone or anything to keep me from it. And so I'm going to learn how to use my faith as a shield to weather with my knowledge of the Word of God, quoting the Scriptures, focusing on Christ crucified, keeping your mind on the Lord, with your eyes on the Lord and your faith and your sword. Guess what? You can stand in the evil day. Look at this again on 1 John chapter 5, 4 through 5. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Remember the world earlier? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Now he's coming back to it. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Here it is again. Who is he who overcomes the world but who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I asked this question to you the other day. If Jesus is not the Son of God, what does his death mean? Nothing. But when you realize Jesus is the Son of God, then his death is everything. And he died on that cross so that my sins would not keep me from going to heaven, or hell, excuse me, but allow me to go to heaven. He died on that cross so I wouldn't go to hell. You keep that in your mind the next time Satan tempts you. I assure you, you can stand in the evil day. You can say no, even to your stronghold. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, verse 12. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Here it is again. The shield of faith. What is it overcomes the world? Your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. If we're going to lay hold on eternal life, we've got to fight, and we've got to fight the good fight of faith. What do you do when you've lost a battle and you've given in to temptation and you sin yet again? You're entangled in it and you're down on the ground. All right, listen real close, because the truth of the matter is, we've all been there. Okay? We've all been there. We were tempted. We were in battle. And we lost. We sinned. And we got entangled in sin again. What do? You get up again. With a broken and contrite spirit, you go to God in prayer again, praying for the forgiveness of the sin and the battle you just lost. You get untangled from the sin, and then you get back into the battle. You learn from the battles you've lost. You learn your own weaknesses so that you will not lose in the future. You learn the Word of God. You learn your weapons. You have an army around you. With an army around you and you armed with weapons you know how to use, guess what? You can stand. And you can start winning battles. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast, look at this, in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Okay, I want you to give me your imaginations for a moment. Imagine you're out walking through some woods and you got your phone on listening to what we used to call it, the radio. And you hear this announcement coming over your phone. There is a lion that has escaped and he's very hungry and we believe he's gone into these particular woods. And you go, that's the woods I'm in. There's a lion in these woods and he's hungry. He's hunting me. Now I got a question for you. How are you going to walk through those woods? How many of you are going to walk through the woods? Or how many of you are going to be going slow and you're listening? You hear a twig break and you look over there and you're getting kind of jumpy. You look on the horizon and you see the lion. What are you going to do when you see the lion? Run as hard as I can the other way. Simple lesson. Don't run to the lion. He's going about as a roaring lion. He's real. And yet sometimes we know where we lose the battles. We know where we sin. And we realize, okay, there it is. I see it coming. Matter of fact, I'm going to run to it. You're going to lose. You remember the Joseph strategy? And Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him. He didn't say, sit down, when are we going to talk about this? No. He ran. Flee youthful lust. Flee fornication. Don't think you can go up there in the midst of it and stand. We got to be sober and vigilant, paying attention to the attacks of the enemy. And when we see it coming, sometime the best defense is just run. Matthew 26:41. Before we get into this verse, let's talk about the context. In the context here, Jesus has told the apostles, before the night is out, you're going to all deny me. Peter went as far as saying, I won't deny you, I'll die with you. I got a question for you. Did they mean what they said? To what level do you think they meant what they said? With every fiber of their being, they meant it. What happened? They fell to pieces, didn't they? Jesus answered the problem here. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There we are right there. Every one of us, there we are. That's you. That's me. We have wonderful intentions. We want to be pleasing to God. We want to overcome temptation. We don't want to give into Satan. We don't want to sin. And we say, I'm not going to do it. But then when the moment comes, we lose again. Why? Spirit's willing. Flesh is weak. What's the solution? Watch and pray. Watch. Be alert. Be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware when you're being tempted and attacked. And start using your weapons immediately. And if you gotta run, run. But prepare to get into the battle. And engage the battle if you have to. But use your weapons. Start quoting the Word of God, quoting the Scripture, praying to God, asking for God to help you. Call out to your ally. There's nothing wrong with screaming, help! Nothing in the world wrong with that. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Did you see it right there? In Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. In Ephesians 6:18, praying always, being watchful. Watch and pray. After you get what we call the armor of God, at the very end of it, he comes back to watch and pray. Put on the whole armor of God, watch and pray. Be alert, be circumspect, be aware of what's going on around you. Satan is going to come after you, I guarantee you. Tomorrow, the day after that, the day after that. He's never going to stop hitting you. You want me to tell you when he's going to finally stop hitting you? When you're dead. But as long as you're alive, the enemy is going to continue to attack you. To try to get you to get down on the ground, get entangled in it, and stay down. He wants you to be overcome and give up. He wants you to surrender. If you surrender to the enemy, he has you. If you don't come home, he has you for eternity. We're talking about the reality of a war that has been going on since the Garden of Eden. We were born into a world at war. And if we're going to make it to heaven to be with our God, we have to become true soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have to learn how to fight the spiritual warfare against our spiritual enemy. You got to know yourself. You got to be honest with yourself about where you really are. You got to know the enemy. You got to understand how he has tempted you in the past and realize he's going to come back. You got to know your allies, first God and your brethren. Find someone you can let in. Find someone you can let down the barriers with and confess to one another and encourage one another and pray for one another. And the more the better, to where finally you're surrounded by an army. And with an army, we can withstand. And with an army, we can stand in the evil day. With God with us and our weapons, you gotta know them and you gotta use them. Know your weapon, know it well, use your weapons. And with that, you can even tear down the stronghold that Satan has in your heart. You can tear it down. The last verse and then the lesson will be yours. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors than him who loved us. We've been talking primarily about defending ourselves. The last verse here is not talking about defense. It is talking about conquest. You see, it's one thing to stand and hold your ground as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And now that you learn how to be the good soldier of Jesus Christ with the shield of faith and the word of God and watching and praying, okay. Now then, it's time to get on the offense and go after territory belonging to the enemy. To go after souls that are still under his control and power with the gospel of the word of God. It is time to become conquerors for our King and our Lord Jesus Christ. Taking the weapons God has given us and going into the world that is dark. And getting into the battle fighting for the souls of mankind. It's time to become soldiers of Jesus Christ. One last admonition. Brethren, I want to see you there on the other side. When the time comes and we are with our God in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to be there. For you to be there, you're going to have to learn to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. A true soldier. You're going to have to learn to fight. To hold your ground, to stand in the evil day. And not only stand, but then learn to become a conqueror. Winning ground for our King. When you lose battles, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to feel like the publican sometime. He struck himself on his chest because you're angry at yourself. You're not going to be able to look up to heaven because you're so ashamed. When you get upset because you've lost a battle in the future, and I'm sorry to tell you, you will. Get up and get untangled. Take the sin to God yet again. He still loves you. He will forgive you. With a broken and contrite spirit driven by godly sorrow, beg and pray for forgiveness yet again. And then get back into the battle. Fight the good fight of faith all the way to the end. And if you just keep fighting by faith, He sees that. And even though you may have lost battles in the past, and we have and we will, because we are fighting the good fight of faith, in the end, we will be with our King and our Captain and our God. And I want to see you there. I hope the sermon will help you get there. Lord willing, I'll see you on the other side. If there's anybody here this evening who's not in Christ yet, and you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to openly confess the faith that is in your heart, and then motivated by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance. It is the biggest battle of your life. Coming to the point of faith is easy. Confessing it is easy. Getting baptized is easy. The battle is tough. But you're committing to repentance. You're committing to becoming a soldier of Jesus Christ and starting to fight against Satan, to stand in the evil day, to truly change your life. If you're willing to make that commitment, we'll baptize you as we can get you to the water. If you're a soldier who's lost the battle and you need help, don't stay alone. Don't be the solitary soldier. The brethren here will rally around you. They will pray for you. They'll pray with you. They'll do the best they can to encourage you and exhort you and check up on you. You're not alone. Get up. Get untangled. Take the sin to God. Go straight into it. Pray for forgiveness. And get back into the battle. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.